T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Giants got their GM, who by all accounts is a very well-respected and well-liked guy. A buddy of mine who's been a Buffalo dude for 40 years said reputation in Buffalo amongst the people that would know is that A, he's a great guy, and B, knows his bleep. So again,
seems like they got a good guy. I'm sure Joe Shane is a good guy, and I hope for Giant fan's sake he's the right guy. But what GM is hired?
Yeah.
With people saying, boy, that John Idzik's a moron. What are they doing?
Well, I was told that.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you tell me? Why did you say it out loud?
I think I did on the show that hosting at the time.
Wait, like, you said on the air,
yeah.
By the way, Jets just hired John Idzik. I have been hearing that he's a total idiot.
I didn't say idiot.
What'd you say?
But I said that Seattle was not crying that they lost
him. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Something along those lines. I forget what it was. I know what you mean. Like, no one ever says anything bad about the new guy.
Right.
Like, oh, he's fantastic. Lovely fellow.
I think what Giant fans like about Joe Shane, and it's very, very simple, but I think it's the reality, is they look at the Buffalo Bills and say they know what they're doing. It's as simple as that. This is an organization that, you know, we haven't thought this for a long time, but certainly you should over the last 4 years. You look at them and say, I want to be them.
Yeah. I mean, they got the quarterback. They didn't do another one without the quarterback. And they got the right quarterback. Because, by the way, how many other teams passed on getting him that did take quarterbacks?
So, you're right. But you know what else the Buffalo Bills did? And I don't know if this... I mean, it's talked about, so I shouldn't say it's not talked about. But I think it's fascinating. You know the Buffalo Bills? They're the team that traded with Kansas City when Kansas City traded up for Patrick Mahomes. Right? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills traded back. The Chiefs traded up. They got Patrick Mahomes. The Buffalo Bills hit the ball over the fence with those picks they used from the Mahomes trade. Tre'Davious White, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He's hurt right now, but still did pretty well. Tremaine Edmonds, their linebacker. They drafted their left tackle, Deion Dawkins. Like, that's also something that's important.
Yes.
They not just found their franchise quarterback, but a trade that could be ridiculed in Bill history. You had Mahomes. You traded that pick. They turned it into key pieces that have helped him get to this point.
Yes, and I want to thank everybody who's recommended places to go and board in town. I'm good now. Your place, Dolce & Clemente, is a highly thought of place.
I told you.
Yes, it is a highly thought of place.
Yep, told you.
Now, I know DiLorenzo as well, because DiLorenzo started in Trenton. I think it's a second outfit from the one in Trenton. But I will do a little drive through board in town. I may sample several places. I got to be there for 3 hours. I'm not sitting inside watching him run the 40-yard dash for 3 hours. I can tell you that.
Board in town food tour by
I
Craig Carton.
That. Yeah, I may. If I do, I will videotape it for
TikTok
you.
TikTok video. Boom.
Yeah, my board in town food tour. That's what I might do this weekend. Here's Sonny in Malvern. Sonny, what's good, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
What's up?
I think it's a no-brainer. Obviously, the new GM is going to hire the offensive coordinator. Listen, they worked together for the last 4 years. Look what kind of job he's done with Buffalo. And number two, Brian Flores, guys, and this is a fact. This has come out of Miami. He has not gotten along with his quarterback, and he has poor communication skills with the rest of his players.
Well, a couple of things. Let's start off with the first thing you said. This is coming out of Miami. Well, of course, negative things are going to leak out of Miami. They decided to fire him. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there are things, and I think this is really important in the interview process, where you're going to have to ask Brian Flores tough questions, such as, what did you learn from what happened in Miami? Were there communication issues? Why did you have a tough time finding the right offensive coordinator? Why did you have 4 in 3 years? Why did you have 2 coordinators this year? And I think it'll be interesting. We're not going to hear it. Brian's answers to those questions, because what's really important after you have a first job is what did you learn from it? And you hope that Brian Flores is going to go into his second job saying, okay, here are the things I learned. But I am not going to take rumors out of Miami that's being leaked out by a general manager who basically screwed up most of his draft picks and by an owner who doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Now,
all right, that's fine, but the most important relationship is the GM and the coach, and those guys have worked together for the last 4 years. So, guys, that's a no-brainer.
It's not a no-brainer, and I'd be surprised, frankly, if Daboll gets the job. Now, do you remember at some point yesterday on the show, I told you that I had legitimate report that I was told 100% that the New York Giants reached out to Brian Flores before they had ultimately and obviously announced their GM decision, and that the Giants reached out to Flores and said, we are interested in you. We are going to talk to you. Remember that?
Yes.
I remember how I was kind of mocked for, like, that's not breaking news. Everybody knew that. All right, fine. We all assumed it. And I said it as such. But you remember me saying yesterday on this show that I was told as a fact the New York Giants reached out to Brian Flores to talk to him about being their next head coach before they decided on Joe Shane.
Yes.
So we're on the same page, right?
I listen to when you talk.
Okay.
I actually do, believe it or not.
Okay. Apparently, the New York Post has a source that an hour ago told them that John Mara reached out to Brian Flores a couple nights ago.
Yes.
Yeah, your source is me.
Yes.
You morons. That's why the Post is nothing more than the bottom of a gerbil cage. I'm your source. I said it on the air yesterday. You dummies.
You know who the reporter was?
Ian O'Connor. Yeah, Mara assured Flores that he's a serious candidate and that the Giants are willing to eat money to clear up cap space. I told you yesterday, not today,
when I saw that
not
tweet.
An hour ago, yesterday, 24 hours ago, I told you as a fact, the New York Giants called Brian Flores before they decided on their GM. You have no sources because I'm your source.
Are you and Ian close?
I never met Ian Capshaw. He's a lovely guy. But Jesus Christmas, these guys and their invented sources. Like, what are we doing? Right?
Maybe you're his source.
Of course I'm his source. And I got mocked for it yesterday. So allow the mocking to continue towards Ian O'Connor now.
Sure.
Who, again, I'm sure is a lovely guy. Sources. Your source is Afternoon Drive on WFAN. I accidentally put a Sour Patch in my mouth.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I got a Sour Patch in my mouth.
You're doing this nice rant. You're mocking reporters, and in the middle of it, you got to stick a yellow Sour Patch Kid in your mouth.
It pisses me off.
So when you get pissed off, you put Sour Patch Kids in your mouth?
Well, it was in my hand, now it's in my mouth.
Gotcha.
I don't even remember doing it, but now I'm eating it. I blacked out.
I saw it. I saw something yellow go in your mouth.
Yeah, I blacked out. Sorry about it.
You're right.
But it's delicious.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, the New York Post has sources.
Why is Brian Daboll not getting the job?
That's just my opinion.
Oh, okay. You don't have sources on that one?
No, I do not.
Because I know that it's sometimes easy to just associate the connections, but connections matter.
Of course they do.
I mean, they do. All around the league, they matter. The reason Joe Shane worked for the Buffalo Bills was a connection of Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean brought him in to work underneath him in Buffalo. So the connections thing is a legit thing. And Brian Daboll's been a hot coordinator head coaching candidate for a couple of years now.
It's just so funny. I got abused on Twitter yesterday for announcing that I knew as a fact that the Giants called Brian Flores.
Craig, do you understand,
and now you have reporters going, we have just learned that the Giants reached out to Brian Flores. Yeah, where did you learn that from?
But haven't you realized that
I forgot. You learned it from me.
You could say anything on Twitter and you're going to get, quote, abused. You can say anything you want. You could say Julius Randle sucks, and you'll get abuse on Twitter.
Yeah, but shouldn't the Post acknowledge, hey, you know, again, I'm not a story breaker. It's not my job. But it'd be nice if they say, hey, as first reported on WFAN, You don't even have to mention the name of the show. I don't care.
You have
but
to
But you can't
do...
act like you just discovered this source that told you it. I announced it on the radio yesterday.
Does it work to do the John Heyman thing where you say, or the reporter says, confirming Craig Carton's report?
Whatever. That's
Brian
fine.
Flores has already been
talking. Because I tell you, when it goes the other way, they get all pissed off about it. Oh, that was my story in the paper. You're just taking it from there. Oh, I had that first. Okay. Well, what's good for the goose, as you know, is good for the gander.
I've heard that, yeah.
I don't know what a gander is, but it's good for the goose. So, yeah, we have learned our sources. You guys couldn't have less sources. And now that Rachel Nichols got fired, your ESPN source dried up, too.
What?
What?
Is that true?
Yeah, Rachel Nichols was a loose-lipped rat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Inside the walls of ESPN and was feeding the New York Post with a lot of their stories. Yeah, so now that she's out,
uh-oh.
Gonna have to go cultivate another rat inside the building. Yeah. Here's Chris in New Haven, Connecticut. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Great show. I love it. You guys don't sugarcoat anything. All right, so we got Joe Shane as GM,
yep.
Right? Hopefully Brian Flores is be the coach, but you know, who knows what decision. But the real decision that I want to know is when they have those draft picks, there's two names I want to hear when they draft.
Go ahead.
I want to hear Evan Neal,
mm-hmm.
the tackle from Alabama.
Oh, you want to build that offensive line. I respect it.
And another kid that my buddy's son plays with at Iowa, I want to hear Tyler Lindenbaum, who's an animal.
Yeah, listen, I respect that you've guys on your mind and you watch those guys play and know them, so I'm not going to take that away from you.
It's two offensive linemen, by the way.
A, it's way too early for me, and B, I'm not going to pretend to know a left tackle, a right guard, or a center anywhere in America. I read the same thing you guys read, but I'm never going to come on the show and vouch for an offensive lineman. I'm not.
You know what's also
I can't do that. So if you tell me those guys are locked in, you know, guaranteed 10 years of those positions, great, go get them.
What's also sad is that decision is 4 months away.
Yeah,
that's
too early for me.
There are so many things that have to happen before that, like hiring a head coach, like free agency, like potential trades.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What would you rather have? Great coach, great quarterback, but can't have both.
What?
What would you rather have? Would you rather have the greatest coach in the league or the greatest quarterback in the league? What's more important to you?
It's a very, very tough question. Very difficult question. I would lean towards the greatest quarterback in the league.
It's not even lean, it's obvious.
As important as coaching is, and it is important, and very important, I think we have seen in the past, and I can give you examples, of great quarterbacks that have overcome bad coaching.
Sure, which is why you go get Deshaun Watson. That's why I asked the question. Because you have a chance of getting one of the great quarterbacks in the league today. So it makes the coach a lot better. Whoever that coach may be, it's going to make him look a lot better than he might be. Because I agree with you. You take a great coach and give him an average to middle or bad quarterback, guess what?
And by the way,
you ain't winning.
That's why the whole whom I'm taking with draft pick discussion is so premature. If you are making a trade like that for Deshaun Watson or for Russell Wilson, those draft picks, it ain't going to be around. They're going to be traded away.
Well, not right. I think if it's the Giants, they're gone. I think if it's the Jets, one of them is gone, not both.
But the Jets aren't trading.
But I know none of you want to listen to that.
They're also not going to do it. Get Joe Douglas on the phone, as you would say. He's not doing it. The Giants are in a very, very different spot because we're sitting here at a crossroads at the quarterback position. At least on the Jets side, there's this hope. Doesn't mean it's going to work out. Because, look, a few months ago, there was still hope with Daniel Jones. It moves quickly. People flip-flop quickly. It's like the Knicks fans who said Randall was better than Durant a year ago. Things change quickly.
Nobody said that.
I'll show you the tweet right now.
No, some one random jackass who lives in his mother's basement, and you held on to it?
Well, I didn't hold on.
I
have my Nets rats out there who send me things.
Come on.
And say, come on, kill this podcast. Kill that guy. You're not going to believe what they said. I didn't save this tweet.
Yeah,
Someone sent it to me.
You saved the tweet because that's how you are.
Do you think I'm saving tweets from the Strickland podcast?
No. I don't know.
Someone sent it to me and said, you're not going to believe what this guy said on January 13th.
And you saved it.
Well, it was sent to me.
You're
quote, Julius Randle can do everything KD can
do. Stop, please. I want to vomit.
That's what was
don't make me vomit. Yeah, I had a nice turkey sandwich for lunch.
What?
Please don't make
me
vomit.
Why are you mad at me?
I don't want to hear that crap. It's vomitocious.
Okay, well then.
Why'd you save it?
Someone
it's
sent
a random
it to me.
A-hole on Twitter. Who cares? It might be a 9-year-old. You don't even know who the guy is.
No, it's not.
Could be
not.
A pimple-faced geek in ninth grade who's like, I'm going to write something that's going to, you know, make people react to it. Yeah. It's New York J. Matt.
Listen.
You know who it is.
All I'm saying is I didn't save it. It was sent to me. You don't believe that? You don't believe there are a lot of Net fans who like to save certain things that
are sent. I'm sure people do.
Okay.
From 9-year-olds. Who cares?
No.
It's like, you know, to me, that's as immature as the Miami Dolphins putting out, you know, crap anti-Brian Flores.
What is?
If they are. I don't know if they are. You know, just like the immaturity of saving a tweet from a ninth grader because it attacked Kevin Durant. Hold on. Like, well, are we adults? Are we men?
Wait a second. So if someone saved a tweet of you or anyone else on this radio station, myself, saying something that turned out to be really stupid.
Well, it's a little different because we are in the business of we're paid to give opinions on things.
Well, I was
some ninth grader who's texting on his mom's,
It's not.
iPhone 3
I was told
to get your attention does not get saved.
The guy who sent it to me said it was a podcast, so it wasn't technically enough. My point to you, what was my point again? I forgot.
That you're immature. Yeah, and you save things that because they fuel you and your fandom.
They fuel me?
I guess.
It was sent to me.
You saved it.
No, it was sent to me.
Yeah, you know what? And you saved it. You still have it.
Well, I saved it because it was funny.
You saved it. You saved it.
How is this?
Because you figured there's going to come a moment when I control Nick fans now that Julius Randle's playing like a bum. Okay. And by the way, Julius, you should call Carmelo Anthony up. You're never in the same class as Carmelo as a player. Not because you can relate to being that good, because you're not. But memo to you, watch how Carmelo Anthony in his Nick career handled the boo birds and the negativity from the media. You know what Carmelo Anthony did? Every single night, after every single game?
Most nights.
Every single night?
Most nights.
Unless there's about his wife or Kevin Garnett.
Most nights.
He showed up.
He skipped up once in a while, but most nights I completely agree with you.
He showed up.
Let's just use the word most.
He showed up.
Yes. Most nights.
Because you know what? Because that's what a guy does. That's what a man does. Oh, you're booing me? And I will remind you of this, Julius. You have something the rest of us don't have. You have this amazing skill that pays you over $100 million to use. So what are you pissed off about? You should be pissed at yourself. You shouldn't take it out of the media.
And you know who...
Who are just trying to do their jobs.
You know who suffers from it?
Or the fan base, or your teammates.
Well, the teammates suffer because poor R.J. Barrett last night is being asked a tough question by Mark Berman. And you can hear it in R.J.'s answer. You have the audio of this bad boy? R.J. Barrett's being asked about the boos at Madison Square Garden. Now, R.J. Barrett is mostly not being booed at Madison Square Garden.
No.
But he's being asked about it. Mark Berman has to ask the question. And listen to poor R.J. Barrett.
You know what, Berman? You like to put people in tough spots, don't you? You like to put people in tough spots. But nah, I mean, like you said, we didn't play well. They got up, and they outplayed us today. And, I mean, that's all that could be said about it.
Berman is code for Randle. Mark Berman didn't put him in a tough spot. Julius Randle did. Because R.J. Barrett, who's the best player on this team, maybe when Derrick Rose is healthy, it's Derrick Rose, has to stand there and answer questions that Julius Randle should have to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not fair to R.J. Barrett. So, look, whenever this comes up where a player refuses to talk to the media, it's not about the media and it's not even about the fans. It's about what you do to the guys that share the room with you. Julius Randle almost decapitated Evan Fournier. Now, we know Evan Fournier sucks, but Evan Fournier was trying to calm down an angry Julius Randle. And Julius Randle, I saw this live from my seat on the Chase Bridge, is flailing his arm at him. Yep. He's out of control.
And by the way, came out of the locker room after halftime, which is about a 10-minute break, and was still pissed off and yelling at the referees. Cost his team a technical at the end of the first half. Not that they would have won the game because they played like crap.
They were in the game at that time, though, correct?
They were down 4, right?
It was a game.
Yeah.
The third quarter doomed them. How they came out as awful as they did in that third quarter was what was clearly the most embarrassing thing that's happened all year long.
I don't believe in this concept a lot, so I don't say it a lot. You said it about Lindor this year.
Oh, yes.
And I don't like saying it because I don't believe in it typically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that Julius Randle can only handle New York when things are going well and or when there's no fans in the building. Because don't forget, Julius Randle's greatest moments as a Knick came in an empty building.
No, you're right. And I remember
they
when people
did not come in front of a fan base who then adored him and laid out the red carpet for him. He was happy to talk after every game. Those then, so it's so simple. Just show up and answer a couple dumb questions and move along. And remember that your bank account has secured generational wealth for your family. And move on.
Have you ever seen a fall from grace as quick as this?
I'd have to think about that, so give me some time. I have another open candy I'd like to eat. If that's okay with you.
No, of course.
Here's Rob in Parsippany. Robbie, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time.
All right.
Love the show.
Thank you.
So I know you guys, I think it was Evan before that was talking about different NFL coaches and assistants and what have you that once they're, you know, if and when their teams are eliminated, they can go ahead and interview for other positions
and all that.
My question is, why is it that in college, and I always wonder this, I'm sure I could Google it, but...
I'll give you a simple answer.
Okay.
What's the question?
I guess
he's saying, why can college coaches leave in essentially with the season not over yet?
Right.
And there's an answer for that.
Okay.
So the answer, and it's a lousy answer, is that because of when they have the recruiting time frame that's open for coaches. So the idea is that you want to let a coach know where he's going to be coaching next year for the recruiting season. As you saw with Notre Dame, you know, they had recruits, they had recruiting, what do you call them? Recruiting coaches,
right,
for lack of a better term, in kids' living rooms.
Recruiters
in kids' living rooms while their head coach was stabbing them all in the back.
Yeah.
So that's the idea behind it, but you are right. It should not be allowed. I agree.
Yeah. Kind of a bush league.
But the NCAA has lost stupid things.
They don't care.
Right.
The NFL cares.
It should be, if you're in a bowl game, you can't, you know, just jump ship to another
job. I also think the NFL is more of one business as compared to college football, which is basically in every person, every school, every conference for yourself kind of feel.
Right.
Well, the NFL's in it together. It's not good for the league to have the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills be announced as the head coach of another team in the midst of a playoff run.
Yeah.
That's bad on a lot of levels.
Yeah, I think didn't they recently just change the rule to extend like a time frame?
Well, what they did
hire someone.
What they did is they did a couple of things. This didn't affect the Giants; it affected Jacksonville. They allowed these interviews to occur during the NFL season.
Right.
So if there was a head coaching opening week 17, if they wanted to fire Joe Judge 2 weeks early, the Giants could have started the interview process. So Jacksonville did, obviously, because they had an interim head coach. So they also allowed those interviews to occur earlier. But as far as right now is concerned. Hey, somebody tweeted me this, and it's very possible that Brian Daboll has maybe already talked to the Giants. That we just may not know about.
I think it's unlikely.
Unlikely, but Adam Schefter may not have gotten the leak.
I'll tell you, he is not a sure thing to be here, guys. All think it's a package or not.
No one is saying it's a sure thing. What we're saying is he's a main candidate for the job. Do you agree with that?
He is a candidate for the job.
Who are the leaders in the clubhouse right now for this job?
Brian Flores.
Agreed. Who's number two? Nobody?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you agree it's Flores versus Daboll?
I don't know. So I'm not going to lie to you, because I promised you I wouldn't.
So you're not lying to me.
And you were supposed to get me a sandwich for lunch today.
You were supposed to get me a sandwich
in the garage today. I said, hey, why don't you get us some sandwiches tomorrow? Good idea. So I come in, no sandwich, and get a turkey sandwich.
No, you said to me, Evan, I'm going to bring in sandwiches tomorrow. And I said, it's about damn time.
No.
And then where are the sandwiches? You turning it on me?
I got a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, for yourself. What about me?
You said in the garage yesterday.
Never said that.
No, I said to you yesterday.
Exactly, yes.
I said, why don't you bring in some sandwiches?
No, you said, I'm going to bring in sandwiches.
Oh, then you heard me wrong.
I heard you wrong.
You heard me wrong.
I'm actually really disappointed. I was expecting like this big, juicy Italian sub. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Well, you didn't bring it in.
No, you didn't bring it in.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
All right.
Doesn't bring in a sandwich. Promises it and doesn't. Every time I promise chicken wings or garden popcorn, I delivered like a champ. Where the hell's my Italian
stuff? I have certainly bought my share of sandwiches for you losers.
Have you?
Have I?
Haven't I?
Have you?
I have. You know what? I'll make you a deal. If the Nets win the next two games.
I don't want any part of that. Get it for a freaking frack over there. I won't take part in that crap.
If the Nets win tonight.
Plus, I'm going to be so stuffed after my Bordentown food tour tomorrow that I'm not going to be hungry for a week.
A fat chance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
I've been told also during the break, do not be shocked if you hear Leslie Frazier's name mentioned.
I mentioned him
as,
before,
an interview candidate.
Yeah.
As well, not that the Giants would ever hire him, nor do I think should they. But you may very well hear Leslie Frazier's name.
Well, I mentioned that to you at the top of the show because he's worked with Joe Shane, and you always look for those connections. He was a defensive coordinator in Buffalo. And Leslie Frazier's one of those guys. He's 62 years old, which should not be a hindrance towards him, but you know that some teams view as we want the young guy. Leslie Frazier was a head coach before with the Minnesota Vikings. He was their interim coach, then he took over. It's been like 9 years. He's a longtime successful defensive coordinator. He's been an assistant head coach.
Yeah.
The resume's there for another opportunity.
Yep.
I don't think it's a bad hire by any stretch, but I don't think it's a hire that's going to excite Giant fans. Is
no,
that fair to say?
I can tell you that that would not make Giant fans happy. I'll take you one step further.
But it would it excite them, or I shouldn't say excite, would it bother them more than Dan Quinn?
Would it bother them more than Dan Quinn? That I don't know.
Because
I don't think they want Dan Quinn. I don't think they want Leslie Frazier.
No, but Dan Quinn, I think a lot of us, not all of us, look at Dan Quinn as a bad head coach that will never recover from being a part of the biggest choke of all time, and that his success was based mostly on having Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he's about to recover because he's going to get a job.
Recover and be good?
Well, he has a chance to recover.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think he's ever going to recover and be a successful NFL head coach?
I didn't bring in my magic eight ball today, but
what's
if
your
you
prediction,
want me to rub
Craig?
My balls and figure it out.
Based on...
I think Dan Quinn has a chance, obviously depending on where he goes.
Right.
Yeah, to rewrite that script.
I don't
sure.
think he will. Leslie Frazier,
like, we minimize the
more...
fact that, you know...
What?
If not for the single greatest collapse of all time that, frankly, you might want to put on his offensive coordinator's decisions in that second half.
What's his offensive coordinator done since then?
He's been successful.
Oh, okay. As an NFL head coach?
He hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's been successful.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
Yes, he has.
He's had Jimmy Garoppolo competing to go to another Super Bowl.
If we're going to applaud him and give him credit, which is due... for getting to a Super Bowl.
Totally agree. We
Dan Quinn gets
show.
It also.
Yeah, but what has Dan Quinn done since? What's happened to the offense
when
Shanahan
left? Well, he just
Shanahan
had the number
left?
One defense in the NFL.
As a defensive coordinator?
Yes.
Okay, am I
yes.
hiring him as a coordinator?
You're hiring him to be a head coach.
Okay, what was Atlanta's defense like when he was there?
His defense in Atlanta?
Wasn't good.
Was not very good.
Okay, so my point to you is, as a head coach, there's evidence to suggest he will not be successful his second time
Listen,
around.
I don't want him here, neither do Giant fans. But I would not dismiss the fact that he has an opportunity to be successful as a competent coach.
I think, look, to your point, I think he's going to get another opportunity, and we'll see. I think with Leslie Frazier, again, not a hire Giant fans are going to be excited about. I think he's deserves another look. I'm not as sold that Leslie Frazier can't be a successful NFL head coach as much as I am with Dan Quinn.
Look,
that's
the,
all.
The New York Giant fan right now, right or wrong, and we would do the same thing as Jet fans, and we did. It's a flavor of the month kind of thing. There are two flavors out there right now that Giant fans would say yes to and be happy about.
Yep.
Brian Daboll and Brian Flores.
Period. I totally
Stop.
Agree.
That's it.
And look, I know it's not scientific. I put a poll out before the show. Giant fans, who do you want as head coach? Daboll, Flores, or someone else? Someone else could be anybody. Someone else only got 17% of the vote, which shows there's no one else.
Yeah.
And then it's between Flores and Daboll. And at least according to this poll, it's basically a runaway for Brian Flores.
Yeah.
51% to 32%. So he is the hot candidate.
He's the flavor of the month
right
now.
I just think we need to ask questions. Is, well, that, listen, I is think, that okay?
Well, the Giants are going to have to ask questions, and then when we get our turn, we will too. Yeah, like, you know, you're not just saying, hey, here's the keys to the car. Oh, by the way, can you drive?
Right.
Right. The Giants are not going to do that.
The only thing that...
Now, we may ask more pointed or different questions because, you know, our tunnel vision is different than their tunnel vision.
Right, right, right.
You know, but listen, Brian Flores, all these candidates are going to be able to handle it. Like, I'm not expecting some Detroit line, Philadelphia Eagle, or New York Jet, Adam Gase type of press conference.
No.
I'm expecting that whoever they hire is going to come across as competent.
I think Brian Flores will win the press conference. That's not the point. Here's my point, and I would still hire Brian Flores with all this said, but I just want to point this out. I'm a little concerned that because he is not going to get a year or two to think about his first coaching job, that he's going to go into his next coaching job thinking, I didn't do anything
wrong.
Who's
this?
Brian Flores.
Okay, go ahead.
And that was one of the things that concerned me about Adam Gase. Like, I get guys getting second opportunities. Usually they get second opportunities after they sit for a few years as a coordinator and sort of think about the mistakes they made the first time around.
Yep.
Again, I like Brian Flores as a coach. Watching him coach, I think it's clear he can coach his ass off. But I wonder, he probably did make mistakes there. I'm sure there were. Whether it was how he handled Tua, whether it was how he handled offensive coordinators, whatever it is, I just wonder, when you immediately go into another head coaching job, Craig, do you not ask those self-evaluating questions?
I mean, you have to, right? You have to.
No, not as much as when you're sitting around for a year or two as a coordinator.
No, I think you do immediately. I think you take stock. When things don't go the way you expected them or planned them to, I just know in my life, one of the first things you do, or I've done, and I would think this is germane to any adult at some level, is where did I make a mistake in how I read that situation?
Right.
Now, a lot of times, yeah, I did. There's some times I'll go to my grave saying, that wasn't one on me. But it always can't be someone else's fault either. So I would think what Brian Flores learned, and he learned it the hard way, was he may have felt a certain way about his comfort level there. Mm-hmm. Or job security there based on the great second half they had on top of the other 2 years he coached there, thinking, clearly I'm not the problem.
Well, that's the thing.
And he lost.
That's the thing. Like, I side with Brian Flores when I look at the Miami split, and I think he's going to win the divorce. But all stories have three sides. They have Flores, the Dolphins, and then somewhere in the middle. And I just wonder, will he learn from the mistakes made in that stop?
The other thing that happened in that situation, and it's kind of like a grade school problem. It's such an immature problem. And it's happened with Miami for a while because it happened when Mike Tannenbaum got the job there too, whatever it was, 7 years ago. Is that there's ass-kissing, brown-nosing, and finger-pointing. And it happened with the New York Mets, for example, with Jerry Manuel.
Right.
Like, we replaced Willie Randolph. So we've seen it ourselves. So just to give you best example I can give you, where there's a guy that's in the owner's ear.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy in the owner's ear every chance he gets trying to weaken the position of the guy who's got the job that he may want.
Well, you know, I'll give you a comparison, and it sort of works on a lot of levels, and it's sort of recent. So I'm not going back to the 90s or the 80s. Joe Girardi was a manager of the Miami Marlins, the Florida Marlins, for one season.
Right.
And he was great. And so from afar, we saw this great manager. All of a sudden, Luria fired him. And we're like, what the hell just happened?
Right. Yep.
And I remember when the Yankees were interviewing Joe Girardi, they were interviewing Girardi, Mattingly, and Tony Pena. Those were their three finalists. I liked Girardi because, again, I saw him manage well in the Florida. But I said, well, something happened down there. And while I'm sure it's mostly Loria's fault, I'm sure there's something Girardi did. And I sort of feel that way about Brian Flores, where I don't trust Dolphin ownership. I don't trust Chris Greer. I side with Brian Flores. But much like with Girardi, I wonder, okay, what did happen there?
Right.
What mistakes did Girardi make?
He pissed somebody off.
Okay, now look. Girardi was great with the Yankees. It worked.
Yep.
So the hope is the same happens with Flores, but I think it is fair and it's important to at least ask questions.
Sure. By the way, if you do want to fly from Australia to Kansas City on a private jet, Robbie here, who's a pilot, says, first off, you have to make a fuel stop, most likely in Osaka, and you got to fly like a G700, which is a Gulfstream, fastest of the small private jets. And with that being said, you're looking at 16 hours. That's like the fastest you're doing it.
Well, she She, I guess
that, man. I just stay in Australia. Eat some kangaroos.
The round. You don't eat. Do they eat kangaroos?
Yeah. Did you see the kangaroo attack the golfer the other day?
Really? No.
Yeah.
I saw a bear attack, not a kangaroo.
Knocked him
attack.
On his ass and tried to disembowel him.
Really?
Disembowel? Whatever he did, he tried to.
And what happened? Like, who stopped the kangaroo?
The camera goes off. I don't even know.
Oh, so we don't know the answer?
So this kangaroo, your kangaroos punch.
Right.
Like boxers. No joke. These two guys are golfing, and a kangaroo comes out of the woods. And the kangaroo, they start circling the golf cart. So the dudes start swinging their clubs at the kangaroo.
Wow.
So the guy swings, and he's a little uncoordinated. So he falls down. The kangaroo pounces on him, and the camera goes out.
Wow.
So I don't know.
I want to know what the hell happened.
Yeah, see if you can find an update on that story.
Yeah.
I've never seen a kangaroo. I've eaten one, though.
What does it taste like?
Yeah, you know the old story. It all tastes like chicken. It does. I mean, just like like Rocky Mountain oysters, cow balls or bison balls. Tastes like chicken because I've eaten them fried. Yeah, you'd like them too.
Would I, though?
Oh, yeah. Makes a man viral. That's right. Have you guys ever eaten fried balls or no? Either one of you?
No, I've not gotten around eating the fried balls. I would, though.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, there's nothing wrong with it. No. Yeah. Joe Rogan said his new diet is meat and fruit, and that's it.
Do we trust him on diets
like
we trust him on
like organs
drugs?
And things of that, like heart and liver and stuff like that? And the liver king on TikTok, he's mad about bone marrow and liver and heart and brains and stuff.
It's like the carnivore diet.
Let me ask you a question. If I acquired some bison balls, would you bring them to your in-laws to cook up at the restaurant?
To cook up at the restaurant?
Where else would they cook it? They own a restaurant.
I mean, for us, you mean. Not at the restaurant and serve it at the restaurant.
No, no. And then you bring it in the next day.
I suppose. Yeah.
Well,
I could ask him.
All you do is simply you slice it down like in a block.
Okay.
You then,
what does that taste like?
The leg. Little breadcrumb flour. You batter it up.
Okay.
Fry it. Voila.
What does it taste like, bison
balls?
Well,
if you know the recipe, you could do it. You could batter and fry balls. But I'd rather got to go to a restaurant.
I'd rather not make it in my house.
Why? Does it smell or something?
Let someone else.
What is bison ball? Like, I love bison.
Chicken.
If you're not too busy running the restaurant.
I've only had them fried. I've never had them grilled.
Oh.
I've had them fried. I wonder, grilled balls, I don't know what they taste like. I know four people I could call to find out, though. I'm not saying who those four people are.
I would try it, though.
Three of them would probably be angry with me. Of course you'd try.
Yeah,
I would try it
out of curiosity.
Yeah. So should I get you some bison balls? Should I call Beaver Creek Ranch and see if they got any balls laying around?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm asking. Like, if you don't want to do it, just say no.
I will see if he's not too busy to cook up some bison balls.
Yeah, that's all.
Bison balls.
All right, fine. All right. I'm going to acquire, then, the bison ball for your father-in-law. Maybe with a little orchietti, a little pea, a little vodka sauce.
Now, this is different. Can I just bring him the balls and say, do what comes to mind?
I'm just saying the only way.
Or do I have, like, a recipe from Craigie where you batter them,
fry them?
The only
way I've ever eaten them is battered and deep-fried. If he's got some old Italian recipe from the old country, tell him let's roll.
Okay.
I'm in on that.
Do you think he has a recipe
from
the old
chef,
country?
He's a great chef, so whatever he's got.
Viviano's in Warwick.
No, I get it, but do you think he has a recipe for bison balls?
Probably not, but,
Does he make his own vodka sauce?
He does not, no.
Really?
Well, I mean, penne alla vodka really isn't on the menu, no.
Oh, that's okay. So he knows how to make it.
Of course,
All right. Well, by the way, Evan, you live with a chef.
That's
would
true.
Would your father-in-law bust up some bison balls for us?
My father-in-law would do anything. He loves cooking.
All right. Forget it. You're off the hook, Big Mac. Tell your father-in-law, we don't want his balls, all right?
I'm curious to ask him if he's ever cooked bison balls.
I'm sure he has.
He may have.
Yeah, all right. Ask him.
All right.
Either way, I'll get them for you for next week. All right? A nice, big, thick, hunky chunk of bison balls.
Bison balls.
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, call the Beaver Creek Ranch and get two balls for me, please. Thanks. When I say I'm going to do it, I really mean Tommy. He's my guy.
Why only two balls?
They're big, dude.
Oh, they're that big?
Oh, they're big as your head.
So how many of the ball, how much servings are in a ball?
One ball?
Yeah.
Two to three servings.
Two to three servings of ball?
Yeah.
Wow, so two balls going to have us all covered.
Oh, yeah, we're good. Two balls, we're good. Yep. It's almost like mozzarella in carrozza is what it is. Like, it looks like fried mozzarella. They do it in like squares like that. So there you go. Maybe they have it in Bordentown. I'll get lucky. Tomorrow morning, I'll have some bison balls for breakfast on my toast. Here's Andrew in Jersey on the fan. Andrew, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Evan, how you guys doing?
Hey, did you see that Louis Anderson died? That sucks. What do you got?
So about Bordentown, yeah. Just to really tell you something real quick. Toscano restaurant, the best restaurant for steak. You got to check it out. Best filet. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I got a lot of people telling me go to Toscano's, but I'm going to be there in the morning, so I may have to pass on that. But I hear you. So all good.
Just real quick about the Giants. Who do you think right away that they'll get rid of? Shepherd, Martinez? I mean, who do you think
Sterling Shepherd's gone.
All right, we're not playing that game today.
Blake Martinez is very important in the defense. And how much they missed him when he got hurt?
Yeah, I don't think that's a game you play today. I think let's meet the GM on Monday. By the way, we've talked to Joe Shane a few moments ago. I had Tommy call him because I have his number. And he did talk to Joe, and Joe very politely said, look, you got to call Pat Hanlon and the Giants. They're orchestrating when I'm going to speak to the media and all that. But it was very nice, very cordial, all good. And I've now since texted him as well. But we have connected with Joe because I do have his number. And I guess on Monday, unless Pat Hanlon still believes that no one in the organization should ever go on the radio ever because he thinks the radio is the work of the devil,
is it?
Which is what he believes. But outside of that, we will talk to Joe Shane next Monday.
Work of the devil. See, this is the part of sports talk radio where optimism occurs. Like when the team sucks and the team embarrasses itself week after week and the head coach is a joke, there's going to be a lot of negativity. Wow, that's crazy. But right now, Giant fans have hope. It's like a new beginning. You could hire anybody, even if they did hire the candidates you may not be as excited about, there's still going to be the hope of, hey, it's a new beginning. So this is the time where a guy like Pat should love sports talk radio. We're happy. We're optimistic.
Yeah, no, he hates
it. We believe.
He thinks it's the work of the devil. He does. And he would, if he had his druthers, which he gets a lot, by the way, he would never put a single Giant representative on any radio station anywhere in America. He hates it with a passion.
Well, that's not fair to poor Big Mac, who hosts Big Blue Live and gets to talk to Elijah Penny.
Well, that's also
Thursday Night Live.
But those guests are booked through Carl Banks usually.
No,
not through Pat Hanlon.
No, that is incorrect.
That's incorrect.
I haven't dealt with Pat Hanlon, but it's not through Carl.
Oh, that's what I was told.
No,
you were told wrong.
All right, whatever. As long as you get the guests on, it's Giants Live.
Yeah, right. I deal with Maddie over there. And
Matt's a good dude too.
Maddie,
they're all essentially good guys. You know, Pat just thinks his last name is Mara. I mean, that's the only problem. Outside of that, like he carries the water for the organization. You need a guy like that. I don't disrespect the hard work the man puts in, but he's wrong in thinking that the fan base doesn't want to hear from people. They do, which is why WFN is so successful. 877-337-6666. Charles Barkley attacked the Lakers, and I loved every minute of it. We'll let you hear that. We got the picks coming up. We got all the NFL games coming up as well. And we will get into the Julius Randle fall from grace coming up here in a moment. One last crack on the new New York Giant GM and what that means as far as the head coach. Now, when there's snow in the forecast, my main man, Big John and the crew over at Von Rohr have the best equipment for you. And if you're looking for a Honda, they totally got you covered. Von Rohr carries a lineup of powerful, highly maneuverable Honda snowblowers, ready to take on the biggest snowfalls with ease. Whether you're looking for a top-of-the-line Honda HSS 1332 or a single-stage HS720 snow thrower, Von Rohr Equipment has the right model for you. I'm in the market right now for a wood planer and sander. You know where I'm going, Evan?
Where?
I'm going to Von Rohr.
Damn right.
That's right. I'm making cheese boards for everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.